Welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. This has been a year. It's been a great beginning to the new year. But it's also just interesting to see what the Lord is doing and has been doing over this past few weeks and past year. This year, as Pastor sent out a letter, we lost Bill. It's been an important loss for us. Yeah. And one thing I really appreciate about Bill is that he had a heart to do. He was not a passive guy. He was a doer. He would get his songs done. He would do this, that, and the other. He'd ask you without question because he had to get God's, if you could help him with something, he would do that. He'd gladly help you with something as well. That was Bill. And I don't want to forget that spirit. And as we enter this new year, I pray that we can capture that. And part of his uniqueness.
Amen.
Last time I was here, we were actually talking about him because it had been about 6 months ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But as we get started this today, I just thank the Lord for his spirit. The songs that came forth, mm-hmm. These kind of things. It just connects with all that God is doing. And I just am in awe of how he puts all these pieces together. But one of the things I wanted to share as we go through this time is what God is calling us to do and calling us to be. In Luke 22, that's the scripture that we're talking about today and this month. But one of the things about it is that Jesus was going to the cross, and he was essentially transitioning us from being people who were consumers of him. Literally the Last Supper and the communion to people who would be creating for him, Amen. Making Amen. Disciples and doing things for his kingdom. And so that's one of the things that we wanted to chat about and think about and think about how that looks in our modern age. I couldn't resist, the whole talking about the Last Supper. Think of selfies. If Jesus, if they had cell phones back then, would Jesus have done a selfie? I don't know. I did say, they have a selfie from the last season of The Chosen, and that was another selfie of the disciples. I love it because that's kind of what we're talking about. But again, this is part of the nature of this thing is how do we overcome the things of this world to be the doers and the people who touch unique souls that he's called us to do. And one of the things that's important is that how we do what we do is as important as what we do. One of the things about it is that how we see people, it is not a task. I'm going to go get notches on my belt, and we had this many people get saved because of this thing that we did or this, that, and the other. It's not about notches on one's belt. It's about seeing people as precious, as valuable. One of the things that the song, the last song we did, Indescribable, talked about is the importance of God knows every star by name. You know how we have, in our world, we name people after the same things and the same people, like everybody has the same name, most popular name. Every star has its own name. That's deep. And I don't think he just numbers them either. You know, this is part of nature of that thing. That God is awesome, and he made everyone, and everyone is unique. And I could go on. I have so many things I could share. But again, Jesus hung out with fishermen, not because they were all that according to the world's eyes. If anything, they were people who were probably losers, probably couldn't get a rabbi, or probably couldn't find, you know, things that they wanted to do. He hung out with them because he saw them as unique. He saw their names just like God saw those stars. And that's what God's calling us to do, to be people who hang out with fishermen, not because it's just the people we can hang out with, but because those are the people that God put in our hearts, and their value is immense. Yeah, I say all this, you know, because we're dealing with a whole bunch of stuff in our government and things like this, which we're dealing with, you know, things that have gone on this weekend. You know, we our president, you know, took care of another president in Venezuela. And, you know, he took him in the custody and all this good stuff. And, you know, a lot of Venezuelans are happy about that. A lot of things that, you know, are a lot of things you can go and do. But how you do things is important. Mm-hmm.
True.
By taking a president and putting him in jail, that's fine if he deserves that. But there were fishermen and other people we don't know that they double tapped on boats. Not valuable enough, we can just go ahead and kill them and not give them due process. And they had none of, to our knowledge, none of them had been necessarily even, you know, done crimes or had been proven to have done crimes. You know, sometimes the people who are especially doing drugs and all this other stuff are kidnapping folks to do stuff like a boat. You're going to drive this boat for us, or we'll do this to your family. A lot of things like that are going on. No due process, et cetera, et cetera. So the issue is that, you know, we can try and get people excited about the Lord. We can try and do certain things, but we got to do things on God's terms, how we do things. You know, we should tell God, you know, they say, God is a wonderful God, and, you know, he loves you, and you'll find favor, but it's going to be hard. He says his yoke is easy, his burden is light, but it's going to be a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. There are going to be people who may not like you because of what you do and what you say. Deal with it. You know, that's the nature and the call of being a Christian. And so that's one of the things about this process, is that how we do things is as important as what we do. And so God is calling us to love others authentically, but to do so on his terms, making disciples, not being respecting of persons, but trusting God to bring those he calls to us and being ready to give them the content they need. All right, so we're talking about going from being a consumer to a maker, or to a producer. And examples of this one is good old doom scrolling. I love this one because sometimes we get caught in these things. I mean, be honest, the truth be told. And a lot of it's due to algorithms. But doom scrolling, rabbit holes, finding a really funny or inspirational video, checking in with the phone, checking in with even family, is a part of that. What happens in our minds and our bodies when your phone gets a hit, a notification? It really creates dopamine in your body. But we can do a lot of consuming of the stuff that's there, but not really doing and creating things for others. We do have to consume to survive, and we are what we choose to eat. Adam and Eve chose wrong, the wrong tree to eat from. But as Christians, we must choose to partake of the right tree and the sacrifice on it to be like him. So examples, you guys have probably heard some of this and know some of this is, you know, when we know about the brain, doom scrolling, and by the way, doom scrolling has evolved in its definition, especially during COVID. It was meant, you know, looking at bad things that were happening. Doom scrolling now is essentially meaning just scrolling endlessly anywhere, even though it still has that side of just looking at what can happen. Right now, it essentially is just scrolling and not stopping. When we know about the brain, doom scrolling fulfills essential human needs for survival, safety, knowledge, instant gratification, and control. Some may feel addicted to scrolling because they feel closer to the answers they seek. Unfortunately, not every problem has a solution, or we may not like the answer we find. Either way, our brains tell us to keep going. All right. The ADHD component is interesting. Those with ADHD sometimes have endless, you know, do this thing like endless scrolling despite feeling negative. Time blindness. Has that ever hit any of y'all? What? It's been 30 minutes. I just did this. I just started this. And hyperfocus while scrolling. Frequent impulses to check the phone and social media repeatedly. Craving constant stimulation provided from social media. Social media is designed to provide endless novel content, which fuels more doom scrolling. Go ahead, David.
I just like to add that, like, also, like, the tech companies themselves particularly implement strategies. You know, they hire psychologists, they hire people that work in casinos to actually implement, certain features to their tech to make their things more addicting as well. When they talk about those dopamine rushes, it's also like, you know, like certain features, like for example, Twitter, if you refresh on Twitter, they only give you new content sometimes. So it implies that, you know, that kind of that dopamine, you know, hit when you get new content, similarly to like when you do a slot, you know. And so these things are true, but they also take advantage of that, take it up to 100 using those techniques.
Yeah, and the goal, of course, is to make money, mm-hmm. and that's why it's there. There's other goals in this regard as well. I know this woman who was on 60 Minutes. She is a cow whisperer. Essentially. She designed, like, even some of the cues that we have, you know, even with TSA and other things like that. It's designed to make it so make sure you're constantly moving. And so it's the same thing with the cows. They had to figure out a way to make cows go through the thing right before they get killed. Right? So it was designed to make them follow this process to the very end. And it's just part of this thing that we take for granted, but there's designs for this to make people and cows welcome what's next, or to be able to deal with these kind of things. And so it's just an interesting dynamic, but that's the dynamic of a consumer. And there's some good stuff about content online, some great stuff that's there. So I'm not saying that that's bad, and you can miss out on a lot if you don't partake to some degree. But the question is, what are you doing? And how are you creating things and helping others to be creators? Okay, there we go. Dopamine, you know, so dopamine determines creative identity. Doom scrolling is like junk food, and then you're more of a consumer, where if you're using creativity, being who God made you to be, using your gifts and your uniqueness, then you become a creator. And so that's a component of this. So what controls us? Sometimes we don't see it. Why did Peter deny Jesus? This is an important question, because he was a disciple. And guess what? He wasn't Judas. What's the difference between Judas and Peter? That's another component I think we need to think about, because it deals with the issue of the heart. Why did Peter deny Jesus? It's an important question. How do we deny Jesus, especially with our time and our gifts and with our obsessions? So just think about that. Luke 22 gives practical aspects of this discipleship. So the things that we're going to be talking about this month, and I really want us to think about how we put this stuff into practice. I want to get through this relatively quickly because of that. In the book itself, in the chapter, they prepare the Passover. They do the Lord's Supper. They complain or ask about who's the greatest. You have the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is praying about what's important. You have Jesus being betrayed by Judas, not like Peter. Why? Jesus' arrest, Peter's denial and tears. Jesus before the Sanhedrin, selfies with the enemies. So these are some things that we're talking about, how they're gonna be compared. Like this week, we're talking about preparing the message and the sacrifice, like they prepare the Passover. And we're gonna talk about knowing your call, your team, and to teach them. Eat the word, take it in, and to use it. All right. This is from Luke 22:1-23. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and the scribes were trying to find a way to put him to death, since they were afraid of the people. And Satan entered Judas, the one called Iscariot, who belonged to the number of the 12. And he left and discussed with the chief priests and officers how he was going to betray him to them. And they were delighted and agreed to give him money. And so he consented and began looking for a good opportunity to betray him to them away from the crowd. Stephen, you want to read the next one for me? Crystal, can you read the last part for me?
When the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is being given to for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. For behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with mine on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to debate among themselves which one of them it was who was going to do this.
All right. So this is the essence of the Lord's Supper and what the Lord is showing us. So prepare the message. And so oftentimes we think of disciples as people who are giving a message and converting folks to do the things that we are doing, as opposed to creating an environment where God has shaped them to tell their story, their unique story. And so remember that, because again, how you see people is important part of this aspect, because if you see them as valuable and precious, you start to act differently with more purpose and passion. And though they may disagree with you, and God will do the heavy lifting to get them to where they need to be, but we have to be people who share our narrative authentically and allow God to have that access to them and to love them. For what they will see is not just your words, because your words will be imperfect. Trust me, your words will be imperfect. What they will feel is your love for them when no one else is around, when you know, when there's nothing to be said because they're hurting, they just need somebody there. This is the kind of stuff that really impacts people. And so at the same time, you know, content, be honest with you, the content in, of the kingdom is really easy. Jesus, eternal life, he died for our sins. All our sins are beyond us, behind us. What God is trying to do is to make us become full and complete that we might help others do the same. So that's that preparation part, being a follower of Christ. They had to prepare that Last Supper. They had to build on healthy routines. And remember that Jesus is our Passover. He's the one who, the death angel, the blood on our doorpost, so the death angel passes over us. Not because of all we are all that, but because of his blood on our doorpost. So the message that to do what you see God doing, what is God's unique message for you and from you? Okay, because you don't have to be anybody else. God's not calling you to be somebody else. He's calling you to be you. I give an example of this. Mine is seeing how things connect and amplifying God's unique fingerprint and the voice in others that he calls. So that's something that's important to me. This is part of my message that God has given me. And so that's something that I share. The reason why I mention this is because I need us to think about what those are for you, or what those things are really for you. All righty. Because of time, I'm going to just give you the essence of John 3. John 3 is one of my favorite scriptures. It's John 3. So I revealed, it's John 17. My bad, I had to fix that. John 17, 3 is one of my favorites because it says, what is eternal life? To know God. That's what he was saying, it's to know you. That's what Paul was saying in Philippians. But I have revealed your name to the men who you have given me out of this world, that they were yours and you gave them to me, and they followed your word. Now they came to know that everything which you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given them to them. And they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but on the behalf of those whom you have given me, because they are yours. This is interesting. He doesn't ask for those in the world. We can talk more about that later. But form and function. Remember, we talked about that earlier. There's a problem with words. Words have a major problem. Words are inadequate. As I was saying before, they're just imperfect. You can say something in one language, not be able to say it in the other, or the meaning in one language may be completely different or more thorough. You know, Greek has how many words for love? You know, several words for love. We only have one. Eskimos have seven words for snow. You know, so it's just part of the nature of what's important and where we get stuff from. One of my favorite Star Trek episodes, you heard me say it, but it's called Darmok, and it's based off of the universal communicator not working with a certain civilization because they only spoke in metaphor. And we speak in metaphor all the time, but you have to know the metaphor in order to get what they're trying to say. And so it's interesting, and they end up kidnapping Picard. They end up creating a narrative where their captain and Picard have to fight an enemy together. That's how they create their meaning. They do things together. That's the process. But this is the problem with words. And this is the thing about even with Jesus, he had to come. He had to be the living word. We can go about it. And this is why AI has a hard time with language. Language has so many different meanings. And, you know, without context, you know, if I was to spell the word P-O-L-I-S-H, what is it? Without context, you do not know. You can't even pronounce it correctly. Bear. You can read all this other stuff. You can read that. I'm from Chicago, so this was an important one to me. You might not know if I'm cleaning Chrome, like polish. And when I say Chrome, I don't mean the internet platform, which has a its own meaning. I could be talking about a sausage famous in Chicago or a type of people who live in Chicago, because Chicago has about 800,000 Polish people in it, which is second only to Warsaw, which is not a cutting device used in conflicts. So that's language. Language is imperfect. If you want to know God, you need to see him. Words would not express it enough. Tetragrammaton is nice. It doesn't quite do the fullness of God. And so, you know, that's the challenge. How do we know? And we have to go through. We have to live it. You know, Groundhog Day is coming. I don't know if you don't remember Phil Connors. He was the main guy in the story. But he had to go through a lot of challenges to figure out what he was there, why he was in that situation. He finally figured it out, but he had to live through it. It wasn't something you could just say, oh, just do this. You had to live it. And that's the thing is with God. He's a living word. And Jesus is the living word. And that's how we know who he is. We're talking about we have to know Jesus. His story is the living word. That's one reason why we have to know him. All the stuff in the Old Testament, you know, we had the problems and challenges. But to know God is the issue. All right, so once we know who God is, then we need to know our call, our team, and to teach them. That's what Jesus did with the Lord's Supper. Stephen, can you close those for me? Thank you. Temperature's good, so I think we should be good. So the Lord's Supper was, again, literally eating his body and his blood. That was the spirit of it. And the reason why that's key is that we need to consume his narrative that ours might be made full. So know your call, your team, the people God is bringing you to connect with. God always does the heavy lifting to get them to us, but we have to put up a shingle. And what Jesus did was put up a shingle. I'm a rabbi, follow me. What's your shingle? How are people going to follow you or be impacted by you? You know, it might be doing exercise. It might be doing other stuff. Who knows what that shingle is? But God uses that shingle. I love the fact that you use, you know, little. Because what happened with him? I'm a missionary. I'm going to be a missionary. But God made me fast. His shingle was one of a runner. And they made a movie about him and his faith, which has impacted people way beyond if he was just a missionary. God works that way. As a missionary. Mm-hmm. This is part of this process. And that's, you know, and oh, but, you know, if God, if you're a God, God will never cause you to, you know, have problems or have to sacrifice to that degree. You will find favor and you will be rich. Okay, I'm just kidding. Because our call, once we have eaten his body and his flesh, is to be living sacrifices, to be able to serve others, to follow that shingle that God's given us, even if it's running, even if it's being a missionary, even if it's doing other things. God's calling us to be those, that connection to other people. What is your shingle? One of my shingles is, you know, being a Christian STEM educator that has a heart for K-12 STEM education in inner city. That's part of the uniqueness, or, you know, where I'm coming from. And yours might be very unique. It's not, and it goes beyond just where what you do for as a job. It's where your heart and your passions are. So know those things.
He wasn't killed. He died in Eternal Desert.
Okay.
He was imprisoned as a missionary. He died in prison.
Okay. Yeah, and there was a lot of other folks who have died. The Elliots, you know, there's folks who died just doing that, and people get converted even through their death, which is deep. All right, I didn't even want to go this long. I really wanted to get to these questions. And these questions are meant to actually take some time. I want you to, if you have a pen, it's a wonderful thing. There's not a lot of. I want to make sure we are starting to think about how God wants us to move, mm-hmm. individually, and how we can help each other collectively. So, preparing the Passover and our Passover meal. What dopamine hits do we need to avoid that keep us locked up as consumers that are not of Him? That stop us from being creators, makers, and doers for God's kingdom. And I just see dopamine hits, but it could be anything else. One of those things that hinder us from not being the creators God calls us to be. What are our fears? I really want you to think about that and write some of those things down. What are those things that are stopping us or slowing us down in that regard? The next one is, what is your shingle? What are the things God is calling you to move on? And what are you going to do right now to support your calling in this area? And how can the church or the people here help you with this? And how can you help others? So these are the four questions, but I want to spend time on the first one. It is 11:55. I want us to get quiet. I want you all to think about some of these things and write some of these things down, and then we can start to share some of these as we go. But paper, pen, or you can use your phone or whatever source. But I want us to think about these things, because God is, in the end of 2025, has encouraged us strongly to move. And so the question is, as we enter 2026, how are we going to move this year? What are those things that are slowing our move? What is our shingle? And what are we going to do today and or this week with that? So, start with 5 minutes. And even before we do that, Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Help us, O Lord, to see, O Lord, what your calling is on us as you do. Oh Lord, help these things become clear in our lives, that we might move and act on the things that you have put on our hearts, that we might use the unique gifts and skills and passions that you have put in us, oh Lord, to reach others, to be like Mr. Liddell, and to know where you have made us fast and where you have made and put in our hearts to serve you and your kingdom. Lord, we call you Lord because your Lord. And therefore we ask that we know we've been bought with a price. We are yours. And so, Lord, we come before you just asking that you speak to us, Lord, that you might use us for your kingdom. Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done, not in others, but through us. And help us to be the creators of that part of your kingdom that only we can create. And we pray these things in your darling son, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 5 minutes.
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others and watch God's kingdom take off around you.